Amen. Amen. Before you're seated, look at someone and say, are you ready for church? Look back and say, I think so. Hey, do me a big favor. Right now, I want to look at the camera. I want to welcome everyone joining us online. Come on, church family, give a round of applause. We're glad you're here. We're one church, many living rooms, many locations. So I'm excited today. You guys look good. You guys ready for church? How good was our worship, man? I love that song. Was that a Hillsong? Was that a Hillsong? Yeah, that's so good. Anything from Hillsong, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Elevation, let's do it. Now it's Maverick City Music. Now it's the new one, right? Hey, real quick, I just want to let you know, I just met a new friend named Nick, and he told me right now, he goes, dude, I'm here because I watched a couple weeks ago, he said, you preached a sermon about walking with your wounds. He goes, I watched that online, and I'm here today because of that message, and I feel like God brought me here. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. You never know who is on the other side of a share. Like when you share, so do me a favor. If you're watching online right now, even if it's not Sunday morning, share this message. If you're here today, share the message. Go on Facebook, check in on, you know, however you do it on social media. If it's on your Instagram story, tag us. We have an opportunity, guys, to share the good news, the gospel, by simply using social media, which is completely free, and you're already on it anyways, right? And I'm going to tell you, I actually have a statistic for you later on how much you're using social, as if you need to be reminded of that. And I just want you to do me a favor, share this content, and let's see what God does through that. You never know how many more stories like Nick there are. So can we give it up for God one more time? He's good. He is good. All right, you guys got to start that timer or we'll be here all day. So thank you so much. Yes, someone's like, I'm hungry. Thank you. How many of you guys are just, you know, in this season, how many of you guys know there's a lot of things happening? There's a lot of, I don't know about you, but like fall for me, like it's a busy time for us. Our kids are back in school. Life seems to be ramping up again and we're kind of coming back to our rhythms. And I'm excited because we got a lot of stuff coming up here at Active Church. So I just wanted to real quickly at the top of our message, just share with you some things happening around church life. Is that cool? Okay, get your calendars out, get your phone out, get your Google calendar out, however you take notes, however you do that. We got some things happening. Active youth is ramping up. How many of you guys know, man, youth ministry is where it's at. That's where I kind of got my start in ministry. I started serving in our junior high ministry at my home church in Bakersfield. And I remember they asked me, my buddy Nick was like, hey, do you want to serve in the youth ministry? I'm like, are you sure? Like, is that cool? Can I do this? And I love students. I felt like a junior higher at times. I still laugh at things like I'm a junior higher. Any guys, can you agree? Like you hear something, you're like, that's funny. Okay. And I just remember going into like junior high ministry for the first time. And I thought, this is awkward. This is kind of tough, but I fell in love with middle school ministry. And I fell in love with middle schoolers because I was like, these are the boys that like, they're not cool yet. They think they're cool, but they're not. And they're not high schoolers, so they don't have it all figured out yet. And so they were like, and I remember thinking to myself, if we could just share the good news of Jesus, if we could just love on these students, if they could just know that there's a God that loves them, a God that cares about them, and there's some adults in their life that they can call and reach out to, and there's some people that they could do life with that are gonna point them to Jesus. Man, I fell in love with student ministry. My life was changed through youth ministry, through serving. But man, there are students that you have in your life, middle school, high schoolers, we want to serve those students. So you're going to start seeing a lot of youth ministry stuff. We have some cool stuff planned over the next few weeks. You'll see some stuff in the lobby. Make sure if you have a student in 7th or 8th grade or 9th or 10th grade, make sure that they're getting plugged in. You can find out more in the lobby. Also, we have a big thing coming up. We have Active Church turning 4. We're 4 years old as a church. Oh man, it's exciting. I remember I was telling the story to a friend of ours, our babysitter last night, Catherine, and I said, she's like, how did you guys end up at the Fremont Theater? And I said, it's a funny story. I said, when we were driving here, before we planted the church, we were just looking around downtown slow and just like, how cool would it be to do church in downtown San Luis Obispo? I'll never forget, I was driving on Santa Rosa, and we were coming up to the Fremont. And I said, Stacy, we're going to do church at the Fremont Theater, and it's going to be awesome. And people are going to come and get saved. And that was 5 years ago. And so I think about what I see now. And can I just tell you, like, dream bigger with God. Like, I just can't encourage you. Like, dreams, don't, like, if you feel like this last 18 months has, like, squashed your dreams, don't let that stop your faith from dreaming big and believing God could do anything, because he does and he will. And so we're going to celebrate all that God's done over the last 4 years on September 19th. Mark your calendars, invite a friend. We're going to have cake. We're going to party. It's going to be awesome. So that's the 19th. Also, Back to Church Sunday is happening on the 26th. So what's Back to Church Sunday? Over the last 18 months, many people have felt disconnected, isolated. A lot of people stopped going to church in this season for many reasons. And I really believe that this year is a chance for us to kind of regather and get people back in the room, back in the house of God. I know for a lot of pastors that I've talked to in my network, a lot of the bad statistics that you see in you know, all addictions, depression, anxiety, all these stats are through the roof. Everyone is in a lot of people are in a bad place. And I just think that the house of God, the family of God, is where everybody needs to be. Now, I don't expect us all to go and like knock on doors and invite people like that. I'm not asking you to do that. You're like, no. But what I am expecting you to do as your pastor, if you call Active Church your home, I really want you to take some time to think about who in your life could use some encouragement. Who in your life maybe is far from God right now? They're interested in God. Maybe they've kind of floated away from God. I want you to be intentional about praying for people and inviting them to church. This is going to be a don't miss Sunday, September 26th. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a life group fair. We're going to talk about where we're going as a church. We're starting a brand new series. So September 26th is a big Sunday. So we kind of got a back-to-back big Sundays in September. And with that being said, I have a slide, a Transformers team slide. How many of you guys enjoy active services? Raise your hand. You like coming to church here on Sunday? Okay, thank you. 73% of you. Some people are like, nah, don't like it at all. Sorry, sir. But here's the reality. We have an opportunity to set up and tear down every single Sunday. That doesn't, unless, if we don't have individuals that are serving to help make church happen, we don't see life change happen. We don't get to see baptism stories. We don't get to see stories of marriages healed. We don't get to hear about someone that was depressed and far from God that found a life group and found a community and found Jesus. Like, we don't get to see that if it's not for Sunday morning. Like, for us, the local church success, I believe, starts on Sunday. It doesn't end there by any means. But this is statistically the best way to reach people far from God. I read a study in 2014, Gallup said, or Barna poll said this, that 95% of people that have made a decision to follow Jesus did so at a church service, okay? Now, if they did it at, like, you know, football games, we'd be out at football games. If they did it, like, because there was a big, like, I don't know, party and you had, you know, a potluck, we'd be having party potlucks all day long because we want to reach people far from God. But they do so at a church service. So here's my ask from you. Will you invest in your local church and help out maybe a few hours a month? Here's what I need. Here's what I want from you. I want to see about 10 people step up today, and I want us to help. Maybe give an hour on a Sunday to help tear down. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm going to be up front right after service. I'm asking you this. Here's why. There's people that are faithful. They're serving in multiple places and they're tearing down. And I believe it's our opportunity as a local church to invest in the thing that's actually helping change lives. So here's what I'm asking you to do. Will you give me some time on Sunday, maybe an extra hour, maybe just a couple times a month, get you on the rotation? So come see me after church. I'll give you a serve team shirt. I'll get you on the team. I'll get you plugged in. Come talk to me. And if you need prayer, by the way, after church, I'll be right up front praying for people. So that's my plug. Are you guys with me? Okay, you're all on the serve team. This is awesome. Cool. Awesome. Someone's like, I'm never coming to this church again. Hey, I'm excited for today. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump in. I'll tell you a story. I think we'll frame our time together. Does that sound good? All right, cool, because you're going to hear it anyway, so good. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you. Breathe on this sermon. Breathe on this time. Let me speak your truth, Lord, and I pray, God, that this time would be glorifying you, Lord, that we would walk out of here encouraged, challenged, and changed, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for what you're doing in our church, in our lives. And we pray, Lord, a blessing on this time in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I got a confession to make. I always feel like I'm in a rush. Sometimes you probably felt this maybe if you've talked to me before, and just, I try not to do this. I try to be present. I try to look at you in the eye. But sometimes on a Sunday morning, I'm like looking at someone and I'm like, oh, we got to move that. Or why is that on the stage? And I'm kind of distracted. And there's times where in my life where I'm like going somewhere. And I don't know about you. Like, I just kind of like, I'm trying to get from A to B as fast as possible. Anyone else like that? Like, I'm driving, I'm picking the fastest route. Like, I very rarely am I just like, just kind of like walking with no destination in mind. I wish I was like that sometimes, but I'll tell you, sometimes it gets me in trouble. I'll tell you a story real quick. About four months ago now, we went to Florida on a vacation. It was amazing. We took the kids to Disney World. It was awesome. It was one of those, like, we're going to spend some money and this is going to be a great vacation. So a lot of pressure on the dad in that scenario, right? Dad's like, you're kind of like, okay, we got to have memories, make everyone have fun, right? So I had this wild idea. I'm going to rent a boat and we're going to go out into the ocean of Florida near Sarasota Keys. It's going to be beautiful. I was Googling. I had this whole plan. So like, I Googled this boat and I found it, and it was kind of shady. The boat did not look like the picture on the internet, okay? It never does. And then I meet the guy. He's like, yeah, meet me off of Highway 40, whatever, and meet me at the gas station. And that's when I was like, this is not, I don't know if this is like a legit thing. So I meet the guy at a gas station, and he's like, follow me. We walk down, and there, sure enough, there's a boat. There is it's called the Hurricane, 2004 Hurricane boat. I don't know. It's like a 22-footer. And I'm like, okay, what do I got to do to get in the water and go? And he's like, he and I are both in a rush. I could tell he was rushing through the training portion of the boat train. Like, he's like, you've driven a boat before. I'm like, yeah, I've driven a boat like once on a lake. And I'm like, yeah, what we got to get on the road. Like, you know, we got to get on the water. Like, we're running out of daylight. It was like probably 1 o'clock. I had a whole vision. We're going to be at the Sarasota Keys. We're going to go to this little channel. We're going to go to this island. There's like all these boats that pull up. I Googled the whole thing. I'm like, let's just get going. I did not hear the portion of the training talk where he says, do not drive on the sandbar. I thought a sandbar was where you got a drink with like a cocktail with like a little umbrella. I'm like, oh, cool, sandbar. Get me a lemonade. No. In Florida, if you don't, okay, so here's the reality. If you ever drive a boat in Florida, don't drive in the middle of the ocean. Stay in the channel, he said. I didn't hear that. I was rushed. So here, sure enough, we're driving the boat, and I'm in a rush, and I'm trying to get to our destination, and all of a sudden, I'm driving at like, I don't know, 20 miles per hour, whatever, knots, and all of a sudden, and we get stuck in the sandbar. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never driven a boat in the ocean. I don't even know what I'm doing. Stacy's like, do you know what you're doing? I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. The kids are crying. My mother-in-law's getting upset. Stacy's trying not to yell at me. And I'm like, please, Lord, help me. So I got out of the boat, and it was like literally a foot and a half of water. The propeller got stuck. I had to pull the boat out the side. It was scary. We got out, and eventually we realized stay in the channel. But can I tell you something? If you live like me and you're always rushed and you're always going and you're not paying attention to kind of the warning signs and you're not listening for God's voice in your life and you're always go, 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 eventually something will happen where you will get stuck and God will sideline you for a season to remind you that you are not meant to live life in a rush. As a matter of fact, there's times where you might feel overwhelmed, and like me, like I was literally scared. I'm like, I'm gonna get this boat stuck. I'm gonna have to call. It's gonna cost me $1,000. Like, this is not good. But that's just a boat. What happens when your life gets stuck? What happens when you're stressed out and you're overeating and reaching for things that aren't God, and you're going after a drink, a drug, a thing, a person, and you're looking for something to fulfill you because you're so overworked and overstressed that you find yourself going to things that aren't really what God would have you want to go to, and you realize there's not enough hours in the day, and if I could just squeeze a little bit more time in here, and if I could just get to the fastest line in the grocery store and I could just pick the fastest lane in the road, right? If I could just get all my to-do list done, but you realize like the to-do list is never quite done. And you realize like there's always more laundry to do. And there's always more things you could go after. there's always more books you could read and more things you could pray for. Like your laundry list of things to do. Like, have you ever felt like, man, I don't know if this is a healthy pace for my life? I would guess that many of us have been there. And we're in a series called A Better Way. We're looking at not just the truth of who Jesus is, but we're looking at the way that Jesus lived. And if we're honest, Jesus lived a different way than many of us. And I just wonder today if you feel like maybe something's missing from your life. And I just wonder if it's actually not something you need to add to your life, but maybe there's some things that you need to remove. So we're gonna talk about that for the next few minutes, kind of living an unrushed life. Now, what if I told you this? What if I told you that the greatest enemy to the life that you want may be the life that you're currently living? What if I told you that the greatest enemy to the life that you want to live might be, maybe, the life that you're currently living? What if that was actually the linchpin in getting the things or living the life that you feel like God's called you to live? Where you kind of look at your life sometimes, you're like, I just don't know if everything's the way it should be. Now, this is probably one of the hardest messages for me to preach because I'm still in process. I don't have all this figured out. I like going fast. I like getting stuff done. I don't like details. I like big picture, let's go. I don't have time for I don't like small talk necessarily. I just wanna go and I wanna get stuff done. But can I tell you something? That's dysfunctional sometimes. I came from a church background that had a get her done kind of mentality. We kind of had that, my church background had that kind of the devil doesn't take a day off, so neither do we kind of mentality. I grew up in, I love my church family, Valley Bible. I love the ministry that took place there, but we had that kind of mentality hey, we can sleep when we get to heaven. There's ministry to be done. And I used to work 7 days. I mean, literally, I would work 7 days a week as a youth pastor. I was at events. I was constantly going. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't think I can do this for much longer. Have you ever been there where you just kept working? You're like, I don't know if this is healthy. And hopefully you're not as dysfunctional as I was, but I'm just guessing. You're busy. You have more to do than you have time to do it, it feels like. You have full-time jobs, you have kids to raise, you have kitchens to clean and bills to pay, and you have kids to raise and kids to take baths, and you have all the things you have to do. You have clothes to wash. How many of you guys know laundry never stops? My wife just recently said, can you start doing your laundry? I'm like, what? But you're so good at it. No, I didn't say that. I was like, yeah, babe, of course. I suck at laundry. But sometimes we just feel like we look at our lives and we go, when's the last time I actually had a deep conversation with a good friend? And this happens when you have kids. You realize you start it can happen at any age. When's the last time I actually just sat down with my children and just was like, get into their world? And I try to do that every single day, but sometimes it's just get off to bed, dinner, off to bed. Have you ever felt like, when's the last time I actually just took some time just to be with Jesus, just to unplug, put my phone down, and just take a step back and just enjoy the presence of God? We feel like, man, we just don't have enough time to seek God, to be with God. And we look around at our neighbors, we look at our friends, and here's the good news, neither do they. We're like, well, they're not doing it, so maybe I'm okay. And the reality is, we're all kind of in a place, I think, of just rushing and hurrying and going. And if we don't realize it now, the greatest enemy to the life we're trying to live, the life we want to live, might just be our current rhythms and what we're doing right now. In our series, we're going to be talking about living kind of an unhurried, unrushed life. This series is called A Better Way, and we're looking at the Gospels, looking at Jesus' life, and we're looking at the fact that he lived for 3 years, and during that time, he embraced God's mission, the Father. He spent time with the Father. He basically recruited a team of 12 disciples, said, hey, we're gonna disciple you. We're gonna make you guys into the kingdom people. He trained them up. He endured hatred from Pharisees, from people that were religious people that hated what he did. He actually spent time with people that nobody wanted to spend time with. He slowed down to heal people and to pray for people that were hurting. Jesus spent time, he actually preached to people out from a new way that was fulfilling the Old Testament. He fulfilled 351 Old Testament prophecies just from being on this earth. And never once do we read that Jesus was so busy that he ran from town to town to town to town. That in 3 years, Jesus Christ, and I know you're saying, well, he's the Son of God. I'm not the Son of God. Listen, in 3 years, Jesus never once ran. He might have jogged. I don't know. Did they jog back then? He seemed like he was in good shape, but he was never busy. He was never rushed. He never was like, hey, Thomas, hurry up. Come on, let's go, let's go. Got people to heal. Come on. He wasn't like me sitting in my driveway. Come on, come on, guys, we gotta go. Stacey, kids, come on. Waiting, I call it warming up the car. I just go to the car and I turn it on. I'm like, it's time to go. And I get in the car. Jesus didn't have that attitude. Like, you guys know this. You say some things to people when you're running late, your attitude changes. Is it my only one that like changes into a different person when you're running late? Like, you need to go, come on. Like, it's like, come on, guys, let's go. Let's go. Jesus wasn't in a rush. He wasn't trying to get somewhere. He was just walking at a pace that was reasonable. He walked from city to city, town to town, and he just did ministry in a different way. And I often think, like, if that's how Jesus lived, am I living like that? Mark chapter 2, verse 14, we see a phrase, and it's throughout the Gospels, you'll see this phrase, and I want to read it to you right now. Here's what it says. As he walked along, as Jesus walked along, not ran, as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. That phrase, he walked along. We don't ever see Jesus like speed walking. Jesus wasn't a speed walker. He didn't run. He wasn't trying to like, hey guys, we gotta go. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Jesus just walked at a reasonable pace. I've heard it said, we serve a God, a 3-mile-an-hour God. The average person walks about 3 miles per hour. So here's the tension I wanna kind of speak to us. If Levi got up from the tax collector's table and he followed Jesus at a pace that was reasonable, if Jesus, he followed an unrushed Jesus and he followed a Jesus that was easy to follow, he wasn't hard to keep up with. If I follow an unrushed Jesus and we follow a Jesus that doesn't run from place to place to place, then we should be living an unrushed life. But here's the question. Are you living that life? Am I living that life? Because what we've been doing sometimes doesn't work. If you find yourself always rushed, stressed out, overwhelmed, exhausted, trying to get from here to there to there to there, you fill up there's no margin in your calendar. Jesus invites you to come to him and he will give you a heavenly rest. Last week I read out of Matthew 11, 28, and I want to reread it this weekend, but I want to read it from Eugene Peterson's devotional commentary. It's kind of a loose translation. I wouldn't even call it a translation. It's the Message Version Bible. You can download it on your YouVersion Bible app. It's really kind of his own take on scripture. So I would call it more of a devotional or commentary. But here's how he paraphrases Matthew 11. Check this out. Jesus says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Pause. Jesus invites all of us to come to him daily. Not just on the weekend. Not just when you're having your life group. Not just when you're feeling spiritual. Sometimes I come into God's presence and it's boring. Oh, I can't say that. Yes, it's boring. Have you ever prayed and it was just like, it was uneventful? Some of us are, I'm like, people tell me, I can't talk to God. I get distracted. I get bored. Welcome to the club. Silent prayer can be boring. It can be uneventful, but you want to know what it does? It's actually like a cleansing for your soul. It actually allows your brain and your body to get rid of all the instant gratification of Instagram and all the dopamine hits and all the constant influx we have of information, Twitter feeds and news feeds. It actually pauses you for a moment to practice the presence of God. And you don't, every time you have a devotion, you don't need to put it on Instagram for it to count. I like to encourage, I mean, I get it. Some of you guys are encouraging and I get it. Your motives are right. But sometimes we're like, coffee, Jesus, Bible. That wasn't in my notes. He says, come to me and get away with me and you'll recover your life. Think about when you were, some of you guys maybe are still exploring Jesus and this whole faith thing, and I get that. But remember when God became real to you? Remember that season where you felt the presence of God everywhere you went? And you felt like, you're like, I'm on mission today. There's people that need to hear about God. There's people that need to be, they need a smile. They need to be encouraged. Like, God forbid, like, if I don't share this good news that's inside of me, at least by the way I treat people and love people. Like, remember those moments? I remember those moments so clearly. I used to go up, take my Toyota, my 92 4Runner, and I would drive up in the hills with my Bible, and I'd go find a remote place, and I would do this all the time, and I would just sit with my Bible, and I would, like, weep and cry and praise God, and I'd worship God, like, literally just by myself, just spending time with the Father. Like, it was amazing. And some of you have mornings like that every single morning. You're in devotions. And some of you guys haven't had that in a long time. And Jesus is telling you, like, some of you, you could go home today. You just need to get alone with Jesus this week. That's all you need to do. That's all you need. You don't even need another devotional. You don't need to buy a new book. You just need to get alone. You could even leave your Bible at home and just get alone with Jesus in a journal and write and spend time with the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. A real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. If our faith in Jesus doesn't lead us to feeling free and light, I'm not saying that problems aren't going to be there, but I'm saying if our relationship with God is about making us better, and just for being better's sake, if it doesn't lead us to more intimate connection and authentic relationship with God and produce a freedom in us, then what are we doing? Because I've done the religious activity and I've tried to be good. I fail. It's not about having all the right behaviors and checking all the boxes. It's really, honestly, what it comes down to is that we are sinners saved by grace and that we get to enjoy time with God because of Jesus. And so I just want us to slow down as a church, not slowing down from the things that matter most and saying, but it's actually reprioritizing. Because here's the reality. Jesus was given 33 years on this earth to start a revolution. He waited 30 years to even begin his earthly ministry. And then at year 30, he gets baptized by John the Baptist. A dove descends on him, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, and we hear this voice, this is my son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. And he begins his three-year journey, and the first thing that he does, remember what he does? What does he do for the first 40 days? He gets alone with God in the desert. When's the last time we just got alone with God? Just spent time with God. Jesus got alone. He actually spent time with people. He actually, one time there was a guy named Jairus. He came to Jesus. He was a synagogue leader. And he goes, Jesus, my son, my daughter is dying. She's gonna die. Please come. And Jesus is like, okay, let's go check her out. And as he's walking along, a woman touches his garment and he goes, I just felt power leave from me. Who just did that? And it was a woman that had been bleeding for years. She was having women problems and she couldn't stop bleeding. And she says, Jesus, I just knew if I could touch your garment, I would be saved. And he heals this woman. He takes his time with her. He spends hours with her. By the way, Jairus' daughter is still dying and she dies. And then he goes up to Jairus and he goes, don't worry, she's okay. And he brings her back to life. Jesus was, his transportation, if I was the Son of God, I would have like a lion or something. I would ride like a, it'd be like, I would have like a full on lion. I would ride it from town to town. It'd be fast. It'd be awesome. You can have whatever you want. Or maybe a cool white horse. You know what Jesus chose as his mode of transportation? A donkey. A donkey's a walking animal. Slowly, he walked from town to town. Listen, if Jesus wasn't rushed, then why are we? Now, I'm not a counselor. I'm a pastor. I'm not even a good counselor. Like, I try to do my best, give you good counsel. But can I be honest with you? What I'm learning is that most of us are either running from something or we're running to something. Most of us are either running from something that's happened to us, a hurt, an insecurity, a painful season, and we're trying to forget these things, so we're running from something, or we're looking at the horizon going, if I could just get enough money, if I could just get the right spouse, if I could just get the right body, the physique, the car, the whatever, if I could just get the right whatever, then I'll be happy. And let me just kind of like unveil that for a moment. If you're putting your hope in things other than God for your source of joy, freedom, security, comfort, if you're putting your hope in those things, let me just tell you something. You might just be chasing a life that leaves you feeling empty at the end. Maybe you're running from a past failure, a marriage that didn't go quite right. Insecurities. Maybe someone told you something horrific as a child and you always carry that. You're a loser. You're a failure. You're never going to be whatever it is. Abuse. You're running from that. Or maybe you're running to something like success or whatever. Wherever you're at, here's the reality. You might gain the whole world, but Jesus says, be careful. You might lose your soul. In other words, sometimes we run to things that aren't really going to satisfy us. And you might be saying today, you're like, I came here to get an encouraging message. And you're like, this is downer. It's easy for you to say, Pastor, you only work one day a week, right? That's what people think, I guess. Let me tell you something. Can I just tell you, like, you might be saying, I don't have enough time, though. Like, I come to church, I'm trying to do my best, and I understand you're doing your best. But can I just tell you something? In love, you have time for what you choose to have time for. We all have 24 hours in the day. You have time for what you choose to have time for. So the solution is not more time. The solution is this: more of what matters most. The reason we don't have time for what matters most is because we're spending time on things that aren't really what we want to be doing. The average American, I have a slide for you. I'll show you real quick as we close. I got a few more minutes left. So here we are. This is basically kind of three things. We have social media, Netflix, and video games, okay? Now, some people are like, I have no problem with any of those. That's great. That's awesome. You're the minority if you don't spend a lot of time on either of these. So the reality is this. The average American spends 706 hours on social media every single year. And if you're like a younger person, you win. You spend more time. To give you context, 706 hours, what could you do with that? If you work 8 hours a day, that's about average, that's about 4 months of work. 4 months of work we spent on social media. Now, I don't think social media is bad. I'm on it, right? There I am. But 706 hours, we wonder, where's my time going? That's where it's going. Okay, next is TV. It gets worse, don't worry. TV, check this out. 2700 hours plus on average of television, new Netflix series, watching something on TV, right? We don't realize it, but it adds up. Now, check this out. If you're on the video games, it's not like an old Baptist preacher. You're on them video games. Sorry. I'm gonna pick on the guys. This is more guys than girls, for whatever reason. And I used to play video games too. I used to, guilty. I had a PlayStation. I had a PlayStation 1, 2, and 3. And then I just got older. I couldn't do it. Stacy's like, no, you're not getting that one. Watch this. By the time most guys are 21, here's what, 10,000 hours on video games by the age of 21. Now listen, I'm picking on the guys, but listen, what could you do with 10,000 hours? Well, a couple things. You could memorize the New Testament. What else could you do? You could read 2,000 books. You could actually become a concert pianist. You could get your pilot's license. You could actually get your undergrad and your graduate degree in 10,000 hours. Imagine this. If you spent 10,000 hours on reconciling a relationship that is broken with a family member, if you spent 10,000 hours trying to fix a marriage that is going down the wrong way, if you spent 10,000 hours on the things that matter most, what could God do? I think God would perform a miracle in your life. There's something in us that we wonder, where's my time going? How do I get my life to where it needs to be? And I'm just telling you, believing the right theology is a 100% correct thing to do. But if it does not impact the way that you live your life, then you're missing it somewhere. And trust me, I'm there too sometimes. But God has a better way. Amen? We can close this out. Paulina, you can come up with keys. So what if the greatest enemy to the life you want is the life you're living? We're going to be building on this idea for the next couple weeks. I hope you come back next week. Each week, we're going to build on each other. So what do I do now? You're saying, Pastor, what do I do? Give me the ABCs, 1, 2, 3. Living a deeply formed spiritual life isn't that easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. Because all of you know how to pray. For the most part, you could pray. All of you would know if I should read my Bible more. Most of you know you should take a day out of your week and rest, do no work. But we live in a culture that's saying, go, 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 do, do, do. And I had the privilege and honor of actually taking a sabbatical this year. And can I just tell you, I was running at a pace that was unhealthy. And I think God allowed me to sideline myself a little bit. He kind of was like, yeah, you need to take a break. And I'm just being real vulnerable with you. I kind of just took my life and put it on the altar of God. And I said, who am I if I'm not just like the pastor of a church? And like, who am I really? And what I realized when I took a step back and actually just was like, here's what I want. God, I just want to be close to you. And I had the ability to take some time off of work. And I just, God, can I just say thank you for allowing your pastor to do that? Like, thank you for, yeah, like, and I entrust, we have a great team and they all stepped up and it was just, and what I realized was, here's number one, I realized God gave us a word. Stacy and I, we were out of rhythm. There's a rhythm to life. There's a rhythm to work. There's a rhythm to rest. And when you get out of rhythm for a while, you just get used to it. And you start thinking, well, this is how it's always gonna be, and this is how it's always gonna be, and this is how it's always gonna be. And you just kind of keep running. And I'm not one to like take a step back. I told you, I just wanna go, go, go. And I realized that God just loves me. Like for me, like you are loved by God, not because of things you can accomplish for God. Like he's just madly in love with you. Not so much that he's like, you're perfect the way you are. No, he's like, no, you're broken and you're messed up, but I want to lead you to a place of wholeness. And I want to lead you to a place where you're getting stronger in me. You're more present with me and you're more present with people. And I had to relearn how just to be with God. I had to relearn how to have rhythms of grace. And God allowed us to just stop. In this book I'm reading called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer, you should pick it up, it's a good book. He says this, love is incompatible with hurry. They don't mix, they're like oil and water. And I just wonder, like, if you're always in a hurry, maybe, just maybe, love, God's love, is the thing that you're actually desiring most. And maybe, just maybe, if you looked at love, the Bible says love is patient. Maybe what we're doing is we're getting too busy for the things that matter most, and we forgot along the way that, man, God just wants to spend time with us. He wants to shape us and mold us. And so here's a prayer that I want to invite us all to pray. I stole this from Pastor Craig Rochelle of Life Church, and I've been praying something similar for about 4 months, 3 months now. My prayer life has been way more about reading scripture slowly and then meditating and praying scripture back to God. I think it's a great, praying scripture is a great way of spending time with God and really allowing the Holy Spirit to minister, because you're not having to rack your brain. You just pray God's word. But here's a prayer I want to share with you today. It's simple. I want us to challenge us for 7 days to pray this prayer. Here's what it is. God, help me to walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully and to love people deeply. God, help me to walk slowly enough this week to experience Jesus fully and to love people deeply. I think as we do that, here's a few things that will happen. I pray for our church. I pray that, number one, you would be more present in the moment. Present. I'm finding myself in this last season, the phone's going in the drawer when I get home, and I'm present with my kids and my wife. It's great. I found myself for a long time, I was in the room, but I wasn't in the room. I pray that you would be more present in the moment this week to hear from God, to experience God's presence, to hear from the Holy Spirit. Number two, I pray that you choose what's important and eliminate what's not. I think so many times we're busy with the wrong things because we haven't on the front end chosen to say, God, what are the things that I'm uniquely responsible for? And what are the things in my life that I'm not responsible for? Maybe you need to do a value kind of intake, an audit on what is most important in my life in this season. Can I tell you something? Seasons change. So sometimes when you have a season where you're like, maybe the most important thing right now is to put that hobby on the side and focus on school or work or your family. Maybe that is the most important thing. It's a yes sometimes, or it's a no sometimes, but it's not a no forever. Maybe it's a good thing, but it's not a God thing in the season. So would you choose what's important and then just eliminate what's not? And then finally, number three, sense God's presence and recognize his voice. Here's a prayer I want you to pray every day. God, help me to walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully and to love people deeply. And I believe if you do that, I believe if we, every morning, I don't care if it's with your cup of coffee, slow down this week. Prioritize what's most important, and the other stuff that's not important, get rid of it. And here's what I realize. Every single person Jesus helped, every single person that he loved, every miracle he did so as he walked along the way. If you practice his presence this week, maybe, just maybe, God will use you in a mighty way to bless somebody. And as you think about where Jesus was walking, as he walked for 3 years, where was he walking? He was always walking towards the cross. One step at a time, one moment at a time, one person at a time, Jesus walked towards the cross for you and for me. And for anybody that would call on the name of Jesus, Jesus walked to the cross. And he did so because he cared and he loved people. So if Jesus lived an unrushed life and he walked slowly and he walked intentionally and he did the priorities first, then maybe, just maybe, as his followers, we ought to do the same. Let's pray.